Yeah, so we got through some of the ideas here about the process of creation. Now, Valtani here lays out a shita which seems to be, as the commentaries speak about his opinion here, is the unity of Hashem Atzmusai with the form and the energy in Olam Atzilus, and as a result of that, the only exposure of the concept of Malchus can only begin when there is an idea of Yesh Me'ayin. The way they talk about this, the way they explain it, is as follows. There's two forms of creation. There's something called Ilva Olam, and there's something called Yesh Me'ayin. Ilva Olam is translated in English as cause and effect. Then there's something which is created out of nothingness. The distinction between the two is that in Ilva Olam, there's an ongoing connection between the two. The cause and the effect always remain connected. Because of that connection, the Olam is always completely and totally subservient and nullified to the Ila. The effect is always secondary and completely nullified, non-existent in the presence of the Ila. And the chain of what he calls the Seyde Hishtalshalos and every other form, the form that he uses to create and to operate continuously through the angels and through the various other koiches, is always with the process of ilva olam. Okay? So there's always this constant chain effect that we've been learning about until now with the Chochmas Hashem, with Torah. The Torah goes through this process of the Seyde Hishtalshalos, and that's why we're able to talk about very gashmiistic things when we discuss ideas in the Gemara of a cow and an ox goring each other, that in their essence they're these sublime and incredibly lofty ideas, but through the process of Hishtalshalos they come down to an ox and a cow getting into a fight. And there are those who understood things at the deeper level and were able to learn Torah, even the revealed Torah, in such a way that it was completely consistent and in sync with the concealed Torah. When it comes to creation of the physical, that process stops. There, you have to go back to the original ideas spoken about of creation, where the Rebbeinu Shlom creates a makom pano, he creates an empty space, and in that empty space comes a concept called Bria. The Ramban says about Bria that it's completely new creation. It's not the result of anything else. It's not connected to anything else. It's new creation. Why is that important? It's important because we know a concept that we talk about, especially Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur time, and that's Ein Melech B'lai Am, that there is no such thing as a king unless that king has subjects. Well, the distinction between a father and children and a king and his subjects is that fathers and children have this impossible connection with each other. Sometimes it works out well, sometimes it works out as a terrible mess. Whichever way you like it, they're impossibly connected, right? Whether it results in positive or a negative, it's always because of the connection. Therefore, you can't have a father who's king over his children. The only way to have a king is by having separated beings accepting upon themselves the malchus of that king. Okay. Therefore, when it comes to this concept of Bria, it becomes synonymous with Malchus. Malchus is the step where Bria comes into existence. That's where new creation can come into existence so that there can be a Melech. Because without that, there is no Melech. Okay?
That's good. How is that different between the distinction Tzilus on the one hand and Bliyah on down on the other.
So what he's saying is that from Malchus of Atzilus down, those are all in the world of that's already the beginning of the start of the Olam HaBriya. That's where that's all begins. Nonetheless, the Chiyus, the sustenance of all those things, continues to be a complete, total, sublime, straight, godly energy. It's almost like the image that I have is the spinal cord running through the vertebrae. You have all these different vertebrae, but without the spinal cord of energy running through them, there's nothing. So too, the godly energy runs through what he calls the kav. Through all these things, there's still that one strand of godly energy that has to energize them. Interestingly, he brings, later on in parentheses, he asks a question on himself. He says, if my position is correct, that all creations can't take place possibly with angels or other agents, but it has to be Hashem himself creating, well, what do you do with the Chazal that says that for every blade of grass, there's a malach that stands there and strikes it, saying, Gadel, grow. I thought angels can't create. So he says that's true. The creation of the blade of grass has to happen with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But the growth takes place through the angel. Now, what he's going with all this is that he wants to prove that mitzvahs maisius, that action mitzvahs, are the ultimate, is the ultimate display of godly manifestation in the world, not chachmas haTorah, not the wisdom of Torah. Meaning that mitzvahs maisius, since creations are the greatest display of Yesh Miayin, of Hashem's creation, something out of nothing. Therefore, when one utilizes the matter in this world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are created, they are then thereby fulfilling the original wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was to create this world. And everything he did was only so that he couldn't sustain and create this world. Therefore, when you pick up your tefillin tomorrow morning and you take that dense piece of leather and you wrap it around your head and your arm, that is the ultimate in the fulfillment of the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. More so than ideas, and as sublime as those ideas might be, those are less a manifestation of godly creation than is the physical world. That's where he's going with all this. So let's pick out some lines that are understandable, and then we're going to finish it up and move on, because this is very, very frustrating. Now, they say that he wrote this in his last illness, just weeks,
in a fun kind of way,
weeks before he died, and that he was already more in that world than he was in this world, and it's very clear, and I'm not sure that if he wrote it before he went, I think it was written after he died. It's just it's so clear on one hand, and on the other hand, it's wild. All right, so on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, so Ubeze Yuvan, it's about 10 lines down. The last word in the line is ubaze. There's a period right before it. Yeah. Ubaze yuvan, with this introduction we understand. Heyois ha-mitzvahs b'malchus is hey shel shem havaya. We know, we're told that mitzvahs are the letter hey of Hashem's name. V'atoyra is vav shel shem havaya. The Torah comes before it, meaning it's higher because it is the vav of Hashem's name. Right, so the vav in Hashem's name, yud, k, vav, k. The vav comes before the hey. Hagam shel maila. Ba'arichampin hamitzvus hem bigulgalta belav lenunis. Even though what I'm saying now, the mitzvahs come from a higher place, right? And again, he quotes this is the language of a Zohar. So, you know, skip another three lines. And he says, V'ayinu ha-chachma d'taymei ha-mitzvahs. He says, that's true. He says, but let's analyze it. What are you talking about when you're talking about Torah? What is all of Torah comprised of? All of that Torah that you're talking about is all about the reasons and the details of those mitzvahs. So you're telling me that Torah is higher. Yeah, but what's that Torah all about? That Torah that's higher than mitzvahs is all about the mitzvahs. Right? Elishu kechoisim ha-mishapech. These six words, you can write an encyclopedia of things. It's like
the backside of a seal.
The part that's sticking out of a signet seal, right? So he's saying what we really have are two sides of a coin. What we really have here is, yes, one side of it is higher, one side of it is deeper, but that's because what it is, what it's designed to do, is to bring about the Kiyama Mitzvahs. It's like that. It's ultimately, it's like that Gemara. When the Gemara says, which is greater, Maisa or Talmud? Says the Gemara, no, Talmud is greater. Because Talmud mevili de Maisa. Because Talmud brings you to action. I mean, it's the most Jewish Gemara. It's the greatest saying that Chazal can ever come up with. Right? No, study is greater because study is going to bring you to act.
No.
Right? it's such a fabulous contrast of that's exactly what he's saying here. It is kikoyach in sefer hu livra yesh miayin, because the power of the Ein Sof is to be able to create Yesh Me'ayin, something out of nothing, v'lo yal yedei ilav alo, not through the process of cause and effect. Shia alo mukif mi'ilosei, in which case the effect is always contained and wrapped in its cause. U'balto b'metzias, and is completely nullified to its cause. No, we're talking about matter, we're talking about physical stuff, which is separated. It cries out, I am my own creation, I'm separated, Melikus. Why? So that the Creator, blessed is He, can become a king over all those disparate parts that claim to be separate. So how are they fulfilling? How is he a melech upon them? Through the fact that they are fulfilling his mitzvahs, that he commands these beings, these humans that are separated, that are independent. And what's more, what are they doing the mitzvahs with? They're doing mitzvahs with other creations that are separate beings, right? The ultimate end result is in the first of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Therefore, the Yerushalmi says in the language of a question, what? Reb Shimon is the one who said he never interrupted for a single second from learning the study of Torah. Says the Yerushalmi, what? You're going to tell me that Reb Shimon didn't stop to shake a lulav and to sit in a sukkah? This is the source of that famous pasuk. I say, how do you know that Yankiv Avinu wore a shtraimel? Because it says, Yetzi Yankiv Avinu went out. Do you think he would have gone out without a shtraimel? Right, so can it be that the Shimon Bar Yochai didn't stop to shake a lulav? He says, what's more? V'chol aloimid, Chazal tell us that somebody who learns, shaloi lasis, but he has no intent of ever putting into action his learning, he would have been better off had his shalya, that's
the afterbirth,
but it's called, it has a different name,
it's the placenta.
That the placenta would have been turned around backwards, which usually doesn't result in a good birth. What's the vart? The vart is that the Chazal tell us that for 40 days, he tells you, because the placenta is created first and foremost at the outset. and it alone was the main part of the child ad mem yoim, until 40 days, and only after 40 days that the placenta already existed, only then does the child begin to become formed. So too must we understand that mitzvahs are the main part of Torah v'sharsha and its root. All of Torah stems from the mitzvahs. Even though the mitzvah is physical, and Torah is wisdom, it's so much more sublime, it's so much more spiritual. If you want to use the beautiful word, the modern word, it's so much more spiritual. The difference between them is that one of them is bechitzonius, meaning mitzvahs are an external manifestation of Hashem's malchus. And as a result, it's a greater accomplishment. One thing you always have to bear in mind, and people forget this very often, is that limud ha-Torah is also a mitzvah. So people tend to forget, they focus on the brilliance of Torah and on the wisdom of Torah. They forget that while they're learning Torah, they're also doing a mitzvah. So when you're learning Torah, you're getting both. That's why Talmud Torah is connected to Kulam. Because not only are you bonding yourself with the Kodesh Baruch in the most intimate way by understanding an idea in Torah, but while you're doing it, you're also doing a mitzvah. People forget that component of it. They get so wrapped up in the wisdom and in the brilliance of it that they forget that while they're doing it, every second they're fulfilling a mitzvah. That's why Torah outweighs all of the mitzvahs, because it has both components. It has both the pnimius and the chitzonius. It has the chitzonius in the fact that a person verbalizes the words of Torah, and it is the pnimius because you're getting attaching yourself to the Chochmas Hashem. I had a group of yeshiva students here once, not kids, but you know, guys in their 20s, and my rebbetzin wasn't here, so I was able to start up with them. So we got into this conversation about why is Talmud Torah, why are you willing to give your lives for Torah? Talmud Torah can't cool them. Talmud Torah can't cool them. So I said to them, why? Why is Talmud Torah connected to Kulam? I said, because, and I repeated to them the words of the Baal Tanya in the beginning, where he talks about the fact that there's no greater intimacy than conceiving of a godly idea, of having the schus, the privilege of comprehending a godly idea, and by doing so, Hashem and His Torah are inseparable, so the person becomes one and unified with Hashem in a way which that's incomparable. All right, now you gotta skip again. Let's go to, he actually refers back to his own sefer here. Go to the last page of the letter, page 264. Brings a very interesting mashal from the growth of trees, the advantage of planted plants over, it's interesting, the advantage of annuals over perennials. That annuals come out much prettier than perennials. If you put the avoda in planting, you get more out of it than something that grows on its own. Anyway, but here's the bottom line. Here he talks like this. Go about three quarters of the page down. There's a period right after. There's a parenthesis and then a period. The line begins with the word tachlis. On page 264.
Got it.
Umizeh yuvan heitiv beinyan seida madregis doimim tzemeach ha'medaber. With this introduction, we understand very well why it is that when you speak of the levels of creation, you have the inanimate, you have the things that grow, then you have the chai, the animal kingdom, then you have the medaber, the human. Shem b'chinas ofar mayim esh ruach. And he compares them to the four levels of ofar. The doimim are the earth, water, fire, and air. So he says, sha'av sha'chai hu l'mayla matzameyach. Even though everybody agrees that the living being is much higher, the animal kingdom is much higher than the plants. V'amidabe l'mayla ma'chai. And clearly the speaking being is better than the animal. So he says, what's going on here? Afal pikein, despite all that, Hachai nizun v'chai, the animal is supported. It lives. It gets its nutrients. Me'atzemeach. Cows don't eat cows. Cows eat grass and other forms of plants like corn and hay and things. And yet, v'amidaber, the speaking being, mikabel chiyus mishneim, he gets his chiyus from both plants and from eating meat. Well, why would that be? If he's higher, why is he sustained from lower levels of creation? What's more, he adds, v'gam chochma v'das, even when we're talking about the intellectual capacity of the human being, Chazal tells us that a child can't utter father and mother, Abba v'ima, until he tastes grain. So you're going to say that grain, which is so much of a lower, it's two steps down, has the ability to instill wisdom into the speaking being that's so much higher? What's the chachma in that? How does that make sense? Or, for instance, the Gemara says about the name, it's Rabba, says, V'adai lechilna bisr d'tura, that he couldn't figure out a certain pshat in the Gemara because he had still not had his steak. So this steak gives him the ability to figure out a different sugya, a difficult sugya. This is totally consistent with the idea that we're trying to talk about here, that the manifestation of the lowest is able to generate back the to the higher levels. Right? The light returns from the lowest above. Mitachtis ha'asiyah, from the lowest levels of asiyah, shemizgal is sham b'yeser oiza ara da'ara me'aren saif ha'saviv kol almin. Because there in the lowest of levels, you have the greatest manifestation of that infinite oyer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'me'akav oiren saif baruch hu shebisiyum ragli ha'yosher da'ak b'pchines oyer chayzakana. Because where it ends is where the greatest manifestation is. So it's in the daimim that you have. With this I had a shtickle geschmack, in a glimpse, just a little glimpse. When they caught the Bav Ruv during the Holocaust, they caught him together with his son. It was at the time a young child, Rav Tulda. So, as they were going to take them out to be shot the next morning, so he related that night they stayed up, and that the Bav Ruv was describing to him the simcha that he needs to feel with the privilege of dying al kiddush Hashem. So, what examples did he use? He said to him, Rav Tulda, do you remember the simcha that was felt by Hakafis in? You remember what was going on in my office? Do you remember what it was like when we danced back into the Beis Medrash with the water that we used to make the matzah? By the Mayim Shalom. And I went looking in Svarim this year for what was that simcha all about? Mayim Shalom. Or you go back to the water that was poured on the Mizbeach and Sukkis, so you have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Both of them are doimeim. They're both, or the fact that every carbon had to have on it, Melech. Because it's in the doimeim, it's in the lowest levels where you have the greatest manifestation of the earth. That's where you have, and therefore the Simcha, when you finally are able to take something from the Olam HaDoimeim and bring it back and use it for a mitzvah, that's the greatest time of simcha. That's the greatest joy. Hence you have to have in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to have al kol karbon chatakir melech. There has to be salt on every carbon. Because that's the daimim, that's where the simcha is.
You should say something about korban mincha.
Korban mincha is a tzemeach, right? Yeah, it should be that there should be something greater about that. Because there's more of a lower manifestation.
This must drive certain individuals.
Doesn't drive them anything because they don't know anything about it. Ve'yuvan. Ve'yuvan heitiv. Bezeh. Now look at this strong language. Last line. Ve'yuvan heitiv bezeh tuv tam bedas. Now we can understand so well. With clarity. Ma up to the top of Kuflamid Gimel. Ma shamalochim al yoinim shebe merkava. How it is that these awesome, sublime angels, shebe merkava, and the chariot above, as it says about them, pnei shor, pnei nesher, right? They have the face of an ox and the face of an eagle. So it says about them, Nehenim ma'oid, that they have tremendous pleasure, v'nizoinim, and they are sustained, u'mistapkim, and satisfied, meruach habeima va'oif, from the karbonos of that are brought of animals and of birds, o'ila aleim are karbonos that come up to them. Shagab ha'mizbeach. Why? How can they, these sublime angels, possibly have any pleasure from a physical animal or a bird? They take pleasure from the base and the source of them. But now, after these true words, these last 10 pages of truth that are so difficult to understand. But if you do understand them, then das lenova nekelov, and it's so easy to understand. Like they call it now, based upon what I've told you, goydel malis hamitzvus maisius, the incredible advantage and privilege of physical mitzvus asher hein tachlis yiridus haneshama islaylamazeh. They are the true reason for why neshamas come down to this world, agash. Because if it was just for Torah, if it was just for wisdom, if it was just for spiritual stuff, the neshamas could have stayed upstairs and existed in their sublime stage above. As the pasuk tells us, hayoyim le'asoysam, that only in this manifestation of this physical world can we do. What's more, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, yofa shachas mitshuva ma'asim tovim ba'ilam hazeh mikol chayilam haba. All one moment of tshuva and deeds, good deeds in this world, is better than the entirety of the eternal bliss of Olam Haba. Because only here can we be mekadesh shem shemayim, can we bring the seif ma'isa b'machshava tchila, as he keeps on saying, that the end of the ma'isa, the end of this physical world, was Hashem's original plan, and only there, in that existence, in that creation of Yesh Me'ayin, of the recognition that every creation of each and every detail of the physical world has to involve a decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create it, and hence it has within it the greatest manifestation of godliness, much more so than all of the other sublime spiritual things that happen in the world that are caused by the world of cause and effect. So it's in the world of the physical that you have this accomplishment of the ultimate fulfillment and goal of what we are doing here. We are here to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with physical matter. That's what the neshama came down to this world to do. That's the tachlis of the bria. That's the tachlis of the celebration of the Chag HaShavuos, where the pasuk says, "Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai," that Hashem came down to Har Sinai. Up until that point, the Avos and the Amoyos created all their effects in the sublime spiritual worlds. By Maimed Har Sinai, it all came down to the action in the physical world. That's the distinction.